a show on SBS, the Slow Summer, you know, doco series in New Zealand. They were doing one. And as of just before, I had 3,500 impressions on Twitter. So there you go.
Damn, mini influencer alert.
Yeah. But I'm only small fry, you see. So I'm not really up there. But the only reason why it went so big was because SBS retweeted that.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Damn. Yeah, and see, this is the thing about influencer. If you can actually get your influence, so to speak, in the eyes of bigger fish, and then they retweet you or share that sort of image or whatever you've posted on social media, then it just takes off. And then you get the viral effect happening, which is amazing when you see it actually go nuts. So,
yeah, I think someone said to me the other day, like, everything on the internet is exponential in its growth. And I guess, you know, sponsored content as a thing, it's definitely not new. We've been around, you know, even influencer marketing for a little while. But when is it, like, so a retweet from SBS, that's not going to cause any lawsuits. But when does it sort of become an issue, do you think?
Okay, so the issue is, and this has been defined with the ACCC and a couple other advertising standards board and one other organisation as well in Australia about when something might cross the line in that sort of sense. So what they're looking at is, particularly with the ACCC, because they're the nasty ones, they're the ones who actually take you to court and they can impose sanctions on you which are criminal in nature. So, you'd be like a made man sort of thing somewhere, but you might go to jail at the same time. But what they're looking at is whether your content is going to mislead or deceive someone out there. So if you put a post up and you go, hey, I'm the world's best hairdresser ever, and here's proof, and you put an image up which isn't yours and you've got it off the internet somewhere, and then people believe you and then come to you as a hairdresser, and you end up, lo and behold, butchering everyone's hairs, then they have every right to sue you.
Wow. So, oh, my God. So that's like, what about when people say this is the world's best burger or like Sydney's best burger? Is that a quantitative, like, fact?
Yeah. So that's the thing, you see. So it's got to be within the eyes of a reasonable person that might be misleading or deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, someone might go, oh, hang on, really, that's just a claim anyone makes. I'm not going to really believe that. Therefore, it's not really something I should pay any attention to. So it wasn't too likely to mislead or deceive. So it crosses into this legal grey area, though, on what constitutes misleading or deceptive conduct. But what they're looking at now, too, with social media is whether those images and vision you're using could then potentially mislead or deceive someone. So, say in the case of Fyre Festival, where they did that ad, and it's still available, by the way, the ad. you can look at it, but it's really what they're trying to do is say, this is what's going to happen. If you come to this huge festival and pay all this money, you'll get all these benefits, all these wonderful things, and great things will happen, which is, you know, models will be in attendance, there'll be food for everyone, and be great food, and champagne will be the best French champagne that they can find. If that doesn't happen, that's when you've crossed the line into misleading and deceptive conduct.
Far out. So they were really, like, they set themselves up for a lawsuit, like, as soon as they posted that video and obviously kind of weren't ready to deliver the product.
Yeah, exactly right. And this is where you've got to be so careful in the digital age, because the other great thing about digital age in terms of marketing is that you can reach a lot of people, but it's there forever as well. So the influence stays a long time after the event may have passed. So you've got to be really careful, because people will save and capture these images, and of course they'll share them with their friends. But then the end result of that is if you've, you know, been misleading people or deceptive, then those people in a way have also misled and deceived other people, because they're actually sharing that content. You're inadvertently becoming part of it.
Yeah, well, I think there's some investigations going on about, you know, with involving people like Kendall Jenner at the moment who were paid to do that. And so we'll have to sort of, I guess we'll have to wait and see how that affects them. But is it only the big people that can get in trouble? Like if I, as someone with like, I don't know, 800 followers on Instagram, if I go, love this new cream that I'm moisturizing my face with, it's the best. Like, could I get in trouble?
Yeah, you could, because you need to tell people that maybe you've been paid by someone to do that. So under the ACCC laws now, you have to put the hashtag ad or spon, so sponsorship. So in other words, it's sponsored content. So people that way are aware that you're saying that because someone paid you to say it.
Far out.
So if you happen to have a cream, though, and no one's paying you anything at all to say how great it is, that's fine. And see, again, that's making it harder to prove, though, because how do you exactly prove that? How do you go off and prove that someone else was saying something? So sometimes you can pick a trend, with some of these tweets and these messages which people put out. And now we're moving to what the age of called nano influencers. So someone like you, Bryce, even you may have only 800 followers, you're very cheap to use in a marketing sense, because I might come up to you without saying offensive, but I might come to you and go, hey, Bryce, man, $200, can you go off and tell all your friends that I'm running a gig this weekend and Blink-182 are going to turn up? Like, I'm going to have Blink-182 playing. And people might go, oh, really? And everyone's going to come along to my event because you're going to share it. And people won't believe me, but they'll believe you.
Yeah, because I'm a friend to the people that are following me, I suppose. Like, you know, we know each other personally in some cases. So it's like, why wouldn't they believe me?
Yeah, exactly. And if they all turn up and go, hey, what's going on here? They're going to be really angry at you. Super angry at me, yes, but probably angry as you as well. But also, I might go, oh, hang on, I did have it playing. I tuned in my... got my phone out and plugged it into my MP3 player and off we go. My Bluetooth speakers were rocking and away I went and it was playing. Oh, you can't see me.
Damn. And so you reckon you can get away with that?
I wouldn't try it, put it that way.
Well, what about, like, I wonder if there's a bit of a grey area here, because I notice sometimes, like, I have a friend who on Instagram probably has, like, 50,000 followers, right? Maybe 60. And he tells me that sometimes he'll just get sent things. He doesn't ask for them, and he doesn't necessarily post about them, but he gets sent things for free. And so if he was to then... So he hasn't technically been paid, but if he was to get sent a hat... from a company and do a picture of him with the hat being like, love my new hat. Is that an issue when it's technically not a contract or it's not necessarily like a cash or whatever payment?
You see, that's a grey area. Uh-huh. And no one has really decided whether that is a case of whether you're being paid, as it were, by getting free merchandise, or you just keep being given the free merchandise and you then decide as your own, you know, person to go off and use the product. So in that case, because there's no money changing hands, and the law looks at the money changing hands at the moment, so our laws in Australia are a little bit antiquated, you might say, in social media, then, yeah, you're fine.
Far out.
Are perfectly fine. And same with me. If someone sends me a T-shirt in the mail, and I've actually heard of this happening to a fair few people who are bigger nano influencers in a certain category, so maybe they've got a lot of friends, for example, in the music scene or the business scene, whatever it happens to be, and they get a T-shirt to wear, and they wear that T-shirt, they haven't crossed the line.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's up to people out there to really see what they're doing with that post. And if I say to you though in that post, hey, this T-shirt is great, I think everyone should go out and get one, well, then they might look at me a little bit more closely and go, well, what other benefit are you going to get out of this? Is there a secret agreement here happening on the side which we need to know about? So, yeah, it's becoming more interesting because more and more people are going into this as a career path, as it were, or to make money out of it. And only in last year's budget, in fact, the ATO had a law passed as part of the budget package where now you need to declare money from your social media empire because it's classified as income.
Far out. And that was only last year, right? So this has been going unregulated for quite a long time.
Yeah, so people haven't been declaring their income. They've been going, well, this is a hobby of mine. I just post a picture of my... you know, my awesome physique down at the beach, and here we are, and people pay me lots of money for it, so what can I do about it?
Damn, and it sounds like there is even a bit more to catch up with this, like, yeah, this free sort of grey area, free merch kind of thing, so...
Yeah, exactly, and it, look, it's a growing area because this is the way things are going now with digital. Digital's so targeted, and I can really get quite a effective message out there because I can pick up things about you through database marketing, through correlation of cookies on your computer, and then, of course, scraping your social media accounts, as it's called, where I might just get even the surface information. If you have it locked off, you might have an image there of something or other which might be interesting to me as a marketer, and then I can start to really predict what things you might be interested in, and that can make it really effective.